Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Escapes. I am so glad that you decided to join me on this amazing journey. And I am super excited about my guest today. Her energy is absolutely out of this world. And when you hear her and listen to her today, you are going to understand why you want to be around her all the time. It's so easy to talk to her. It is so easy to just open up. And she is a true ray of sunshine. And I am so excited for you guys to get to meet her today. Welcome my newest friend and ray of sunshine today, Miss Lauren Farrell. How are you this morning?
Oh my gosh, this is so fun. You're so sweet.
See, just like even when you say her name and you can't see her, but she is smiling so big and her cheeks are so cute. And I just want to be by her whenever we are on the phone, whatever we're doing.
I want to be by you too.
Exactly. And oh, by the way, just so that you know, I'm in Louisiana and she is in Tampa. So we are very far apart from each other. But yep. Lauren, so before we jump in and we get to just have girl gossip day today, like tell everybody who you are, what you do, and how we got connected.
Yeah. So my name is Lauren and I started Sidecar Creative, which is a marketing agency. I do website design, social media. I do SEO, anything digital marketing in that world. I do it, or at least I try to. And if I can't be the expert in a very specific field that somebody's looking for, I try to match them with somebody else who can. So I just kind of want to be that source for people. Because I know that this world is a little bit scary and confusing sometimes, and it's ever changing. So I try to be that person for somebody. So I started Sidecar Creative over 2 years ago, and it's been awesome. I started it after working internal marketing and then also in two agencies. So I learned really the ins and outs of the best way to map an entire project and work with somebody from beginning to end. And I just have been picking up pieces and taking courses and different things and meeting with people and trying to learn as much as I can just to help everybody. And so far it's awesome.
So you're right. Like the digital marketing world is crazy right now. I think it's like the it thing. I think it really started last year, if we had to like really be honest. But I think that now, I mean, you know, TikTok, hello, everybody is talking about affiliate marketing, digital marketing. Let me sell you this $7 course and make you $1 million. And look, some people do really well at it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie. I know a few people that have actually started it. They get paid. And so tell me a little bit about like how does that actually affect your industry? Like, does it, or are you more like, nope, Erica, we are pretty steadfast on like websites, you know, SEO for clients, stuff like that. Or are you helping clients actually tap into that affiliate marketing side too?
Oh yeah. I think there's so much money to be made online. And if I have a client that is trying to kind of branch out into that world, I want to help. I want to either be a resource or find a resource for somebody. I mainly focus on websites, SEO, organic search, organic social, but I do dip into paid ads. But affiliate marketing is just kind of a different beast. And I think it's ever changing and it's very new. So it's something that we always have to keep our ear to the ground for what's coming up and what we need to readjust our strategy for. So it's definitely a different world out there than it was 2 years ago, for sure. I think with the rise of TikTok and how successful that platform is, it's important to look at strategy from not just one perspective, but every perspective, because your audience is different on different platforms.
Yes, I hear that a lot. I hear that multiple times, not just from you. I mean, obviously, I'm in a lot of community organizations that all have marketing companies in them, and they are definitely singing that same tune that you've got to find out which platform actually works best for what you're doing. Like, let's be honest, I am 38. And so my market is not Snapchat. It is not a Be Real. It is not, even my Instagram followers is less than what my Facebook platform is, because I think that my age group is still on the Facebook world.
Definitely.
You know, and well, go ahead.
Your services are tailored to a different audience. It's people who can see the value in something and also have the resources to purchase and renovate and build with you guys. So it is a different demographic, but you can always make a mark starting on any platform.
Like, absolutely.
Even if you're not like totally tapped in with an audience, a specific audience on Instagram, things are going to shift. So I would never take the gas pedal off of one platform to focus. Yeah.
We do across all of them. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, and then I have a TikTok account as well. So we do all three of them. But I think that in the digital world, you know, it's crazy that you have to constantly be moving and grooving. Like,
yes,
as much as you're going to laugh when I say this, I hate being live on video. As much as I am like a vibrant personality, I absolutely love this podcast. But guess what? Everybody just hears my cute little voice. You know, they're not seeing me. I struggle with putting myself out there. And I think that there are people out there that struggle with that. What would be your advice to them? Suck it up, buttercup.
I gotta tell you, I feel the same way. But also, you are so vibrant, so you need to be out there. We need more positive people out there on the internet. I feel the same way. I get nervous about putting myself out there for sure. But I do see the value. There is trust that comes along with putting yourself out there. There's also, you know, some people are not at the best on the internet, but I would say that 99% of people out there who are taking in your content, they're going to be a great audience for you and they're going to love you. So I would never let your own fear of putting yourself out there hold you back, because it's going to inspire people. And I really do think everybody should give it a try. Love that you're doing this. I think you should do like more video with you so that people can see you. I think it'd be great. I love the podcast idea. I also love that you should put like video out there.
Okay, so you guys have to know. So Lauren said that she does websites. Well, my beautiful website was just updated. I don't know. When was it? I don't know. It went live a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Miss Lauren did it. And it was so much fun working with her and doing that. But she's been preaching to the choir, which would be me, that I need to do more live video and that I need to do more, you know, but it's just so elegantly, I'm so controlling about everything in life that, when you get on a live video, there's no filter. And yes, you can put filters, you can do all that, but I'm not going to do that. I feel like that loses some of the trust factor there when you start like making it all what it's not. And so for me, the control factor of, okay, how did my hair look? What did my voice look like? Was I nasally today? Did I have the right color shirt on? Did the background of whatever I'm doing, you know, all those things. And you can't tell me I'm the only one that thinks this way. I know that that's probably why a lot of people don't do live video, right? Because we're so, and people that know me are probably like, I can't even believe Erica would say that, because they don't know my personality to be that hesitant. It's a mindset for me. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. I'm going to do it.
Well, I think the biggest hurdle is ourselves, especially in the digital marketing world, because also as women, it's hard to like completely put yourself out there. You feel this, I at least have felt this sense of imposter syndrome, you know, and
yes.
I love the marketing world. And I started Sidecar because I love chatting with people and I love working on a project with somebody and just kind of getting into the nitty gritty and learning about the people and their product and their company and putting it out there. And I've dealt with, you know, am I saying the right thing? Do I have a great photo that represents me? And then I can get so picky about what I put online and it causes hesitation. And I think something that you've taught me is just do it, go for it. You're a strong, powerful woman. And the more you put out there, as women aspiring to be in any industry, they're going to see you and they're going to say, wow, I can do that too. Or it will help them take next steps. So I really appreciate you for that too.
The imposter syndrome is definitely something that I think women probably deal with a little bit more than men, right?
Yeah.
And that's not to knock any gentlemen that are listening to us talk about this right now, because I know that it exists because my husband says that he has it on certain aspects of his life too. But I think for women, if we're all honest, we want to be accepted. You know, we want to feel that whatever we're doing is accepted, embraced by other people. We're constantly in our new generation, right? Breaking all these different glass ceilings. Like I look around now and I'm like, I never would have thought women would have held some of the positions that they hold or that it would even be accepted in society, right? You see more men that are taking on female roles at home and women are being able to climb the corporate ladder. And I think those are amazing things. But then I think that brings on a lot of imposter syndrome. And I've read a lot about that because I feel that. And look, I don't think that that's ever going to go away with anyone. I think that we're always going to have a little bit of self-doubt no matter what. I like to use the whole weight thing as an example when I talk about imposter syndrome. It's so funny. I can look at a picture when I was the skinniest that I've ever been. And at that moment, in that picture, I'm telling you, I was telling myself I needed to lose more weight. And now if I look at it, I'm like, dang, if I could just get back to what I look like at that picture, right? That imposter syndrome just like is always there playing with your mind. And I think that the more people educate themselves on how to maneuver through that and how to work through that and be consistent on getting better. And so I'm going to really work in 2024. Y'all hear me. I'm going to make y'all all hold me accountable. I want to do more live video because I do. I think that it does allow people to get to know you better than just hearing your voice behind a picture that was staged, you know, for a photo right. shoot for that particular thing. So when we talk about imposter syndrome, I love that you brought that up because as a new entrepreneur, you left corporate positions and you decided to open up your own business. And what was some of that fear of going from corporate to Sidecar? Did you start Sidecar like a little bit before you left to see if it had some growth? Or did you just say, nope, we're doing this. I'm leaving. I'm jumping off the cliff and I'm starting Sidecar.
I have wanted to start this company forever. I met this, he was the owner of a marketing agency here in Tampa. And he told me that within 5 years of your career working in an agency, you'll know whether or not you want to open up your own agency. And it always sat in the back of my head. I started in internal marketing for a bank and I loved that job. My boss was amazing. I just had the best team ever. And that bank sold and they didn't have a marketing position for me. So they gave me a severance and it was kind of a gut punch, but I took that money and my husband and my now husband and I went backpacking around Europe for lots of months over, and it was great. But I jumped from agency to agency and just getting as much experience in that field and then going to a different agency. And really it was much bigger and it gave me a better perspective and really great tools. But it will never prepare you for starting something on your own. I was scared. I was in internal marketing and I had decided, you know what? I should totally start my own company. I can do this. And I was still working there, but in my mind, I was ready to kind of take that jump, but I started it a little bit ahead of time. My dad's a CPA. And so he was like, well, you need to start, you need to get your LLC, you need to like set up your corporation, you need an EIN number, let's do this the right way, set up a bank account for it, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I like prepared everything and it's still, I was still so scared. And I mean, even for the first year, there was always that little doubt that would come in that, am I doing the right thing? Should I have just stuck it into this internal marketing position? Should I have stayed? Should I have gone and worked for another company? But it's been over 2 years and it's awesome. I mean, if there's any message that I could get out there, and I try to encourage everybody that I can, is to just try something new and see if you like it, because life is so short. Why not try something and see if you like it? And if it's great, stay with it. And if you hate it, do something else. You know, you can always change it up. But that beginning part was a little scary for me, but it was totally worth it in the end.
I think that I recorded a solo podcast, honestly, right before we jumped on. I don't know when I'll post that one, but that's exactly what I talked about. Was, I think sometimes we do try to run before we walk when we want to jump into new businesses. And it's about, okay, I'm starting this new business, I have this EIN number. And you know, you have those like 1, 2, 3 steps that you do at the very beginning. But then I try to tell people that I talk to or that I embrace to give them a little bit of knowledge is that when you start a new business, obviously you're wanting it to make money right away. You need that because you just left a corporate job. Unless you have the flexibility and you have another spouse that's working somewhere else, where it can be a little bit of a longer term. But if not, most people, it's that I'm jumping off the cliff and I need the parachute to come out like immediately. And the parachute is the job, the revenue, all of those things, that we forget about some of the things that we should slow down and make sure that we have in place, so that then as we grow and we scale, we're not looking back at mistakes. And by any means, I did not do this perfectly, but I have learned through my own experiences and failing forward is that a lot of business owners get into business because they want the freedom, and they want the freedom to be creative for whatever they actually are truly passionate about. And that's what I love about what you just said. You knew long before that you were passionate about the marketing aspect of it, but it was like, what was the push to make you say, this is what I want to do? Because I vividly remember the day. I remember the push, because there is a push. And I tell people, if you can look back and find what that push was, that is your why. And that is what keeps you going every day in those moments of doubt that you were just talking about. And I remember the push and I know what my why is. So I'm interested to know, do you remember your push?
I don't know if I remember the exact push, but I know when my husband and I were backpacking and I was freelancing at the time, writing blogs. When I came back, it changed my mindset, because of course it's a privileged thing. I worked for a company and they gave me a severance, and it was a nice severance that we were able to, I mean, we were on a penny budget over there, just a heads up. Like, we backpacked. Like, I just had a 40-liter backpack and we went from like hostel to Airbnb and stayed in the worst parts of town. It was amazing. And it unlocked something in my brain that is completely different than what society expects of people. That 8-to-5 grind completely vanished from my brain. I was thinking, if I can find a way to make money while I have such an open schedule and enjoy life like this, why wouldn't I try? And when I came back and I worked for this agency, it was an 8-to-5 grind. Actually, every job after I came back was that 8-to-5 grind. And then you're expected to work on the weekends, and every now and again, it's okay. It's just, we're family here. We're expected to pick up those hours. And it wasn't lighting my fire like when I was outside of that bubble. So when I was freelancing, I was like, I could totally take on more clients and do this a little bit more. And I think there was like a 2 or 3 year gap between coming back home and working other jobs that I thought I can totally do this myself and I can do it better than those agencies because I've got the great tools. I love talking to people. I love that connection piece. And that's not what I was getting from those other jobs. So I decided to make it myself. I really do think like just stepping out of that grind was that push.
Right.
You don't really know. You don't even
No. That's what I was going to say. So my push was that I had an amazing job. Even if you go on my website right now, you know this. I talk about working at the oil and gas company. I had the most amazing bosses. They taught me so much more than what I think they realized they taught me at that time. They gave me the opportunity to be a very young leader in a very male dominant industry. Yeah. And I remember having my daughter and my boss came to the hospital and it's so funny. Her name was Laura. Laura was just, when I tell you, just the most amazing person to work for. But when she left, I realized what that meant. Mm-hmm. It meant I had 12 weeks and I had to go back to work. And the longer I just kept playing that over and over in my head, I know zero construction background, zero at that point. And I remember looking at Garland. He had just got recruited from Waste Management to United Site Services. Like the day I had Aubrey, he got the call that he had gotten the job. So we were about to make a huge life change just with that. He had been with Waste Management for over 10 years at that point. That was like his home. Like that's all we ever knew. And it was very stable. We knew what the income was. And this was going to elevate our lifestyle by him moving to United. And all I kept thinking to myself was, well, if we could live on what he could make, how could my life change? I don't want to leave her. Like, I don't want to leave her. Right. And I want to be there more for Kipton. And I want to say it was like 6 weeks into my maternity leave. And I remember really starting to kind of tiptoe with Laura and my boss, my hair boss, Mike, who was the owner of the company. Like, how would you guys feel if I wanted to work from home? And at first it was like, no, we can't do that. We need you back in the office. We have to have you. And when that 12-week mark came, I remember I looked at Garland and I said, I'm not going back to the office. I can't do it. I cannot do it. It is not that I didn't love my job. It is not that I didn't love who I worked for. It was everything about that. I knew that Aubrey was my last baby. We knew that. We had some difficulties in between Kipton and Aubrey. And I just knew that I wanted to enjoy every other moment that came with that. And I walked into Laura's office the week that I was supposed to come back. And I just said, here's my situation. And I was just transparent with her. And I said, I love you. I love this. I've been with you guys and you have taken care of me. You have given me more opportunities than I ever could imagine. But you guys either have to let me work from home or I have to put my notice in today. And when I say put my notice in, I will not be back tomorrow. And she looked at me and she said, give me a second. She went in there and she talked to Mike. Mike came back and he said, we'll let you work from home.
Wow.
So then it kind of came into effect where I was working from home, but everything about that industry, it was working for a little while working from home, but then it turned into that I realized that the support system that I needed for doing my job to the best of my ability, because I am like, my expectations are like off the chart. I needed to be in the office because I needed to be around my inspectors. I needed to be around the day-to-day operations. And I just wasn't. And so at that moment, I remember telling Garland, we've got to figure something else out. Like, this is not working. I'm not meant to be like a true stay-at-home mom. I don't think that would have sufficed me for a long time. I think I would have, once she got old enough to go to daycare, I'd have been like, what the heck am I going to do now? So I started playing in that, what am I passionate about? What do I want to do? And that was my push. Like, you have to find something that you truly are passionate about, that you are not going to let it fail. And exactly what you said, bringing yourself out of the bubble, right? Out of that 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 is what made you realize that you wanted something different, because we do have these expectations. Like society says we should go to work every day and have 2 weeks worth of vacation. Maybe right. If I worked at a corporate job in Europe where they get like 12 weeks, I might have felt differently.
Yeah.
Like my whole life might be different, right? But here we're talking about people in general get about 2 to 3 weeks, and you can right. give 30 years to a company and have 3 weeks of vacation every year. Guess what? I'm leaving today and I'm going for a week. And then guess yeah. what? My office is closed. Then from after Christmas to New Year's, guess what? The Hemp Hills, we're getting on a flight. We're leaving.
Yes.
Like
yes.
I wanted to be able to have that freedom of doing that. And I think I wanted to show my kids that if you do this and you really work, you can work. You can mm-hmm. work 9 to 5 if that's what you want your hours to be, or you can be really bougie like me and my hours are from 9 to 3:30. And most of the time it's 2:30, you know,
I wanted them to be
able to see that you can do something different.
Yes.
And I think that's what I've enjoyed about the podcast is that obviously most of the people that are coming on my podcast are entrepreneurs. And it's so funny because we all have the similar, same underlying, I call it endorphin fiend of, I want to grind. I like the mm-hmm. grind.
Yep.
But I want to grind on my own time.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Yes.
Like I will give my clients more time, more of me, but on my schedule. And that's selfish, right. But what if we all thought that way? What if we all empowered each other to say, you don't have to clock in. You don't have to. You clock in when you want to clock in, and you empower somebody else to do the same thing. And I love that about talking to entrepreneurs, because I feel like we're kind of bypassed, but we really are the thriving part of what we do every day, whether it be in marketing or construction. Think about all of these people are entrepreneurs. So I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So
yeah, my dad is. My dad started his own CPA firm. And I think that's always been in the root of my mind of his day was not determined by somebody else's clock. If I had something at school, he could come. He could come by and bring me lunch or hang out, or he would take that time and all the important things he was there for. And I feel like maybe that's always been in my brain of, he had this flexibility, but when I've worked at these other jobs where you have to take PTO to go to the doctor, or yeah. you only get 30 minutes for lunch and it's on somebody else's, you have a very specific time block. That just never fueled my fire. And some people are great with that time constraint. Shout out to those people. Because
that's right. They like that construction. They yes. like that. I call it that laser focus of constraint.
Yeah.
Like they like that. This is what they do. Repetitious. They like repetitious.
Yeah,
I'm not like that. I like to put out fires all day long. Like I must, that's probably why I don't have any hair. You know, like I like that consistency of change and problem solving, which I think yeah. that some of our young people struggle with is problem solving. I like that. Part of being an entrepreneur is that every day is really different. And I'm sure it's the same way with you because you're meeting with different companies, you're meeting with different people. So every day is different. And that feeds my endorphin need of like the high of just like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. This is why I do what I do.
Yeah.
I do think that every industry is changing, and you can probably touch on this too. The part of working from home, like although people work for corporate now, I think that they have more flexibility than what they've ever had since COVID.
Oh yeah.
And like, I think that that's really driving people to make the jump, because they're like, oh, well, if I can work from home and do this, then why won't I do it myself? You know, what do you think about that? Am I crazy?
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that's another one of those pushes when you're asking me earlier about like, how did I know when COVID happened and everything went completely remote? I was working at a brand new agency. I had been there for 2 months. I was actually on like at a client's, on a client trip in Asheville when it was deemed a pandemic, and I had to fly home with the whole team. And then next week we're packing up our computers. So I never even had that like time to get situated with this agency. When I was home, I mean, I'm figuring things out by myself. And I thought, if I can do this, and now the whole world is going home, digital marketing is completely digital. I could really have my own company and be completely digital and chat with amazing people like you on the other side of the world, state, US, everywhere. And I think COVID has definitely changed people's perception of time and the values that you associate with working for a company. I chat with clients all the time when they ask me, how do I get a specific audience? And there was a study that came out where they asked Gen X, they asked millennials, and they also asked Gen Z what they looked for in a company. And I kind of use this a lot. So Gen X, they wanted more money. When they went to another company, they wanted more money. Millennials wanted better life-work balance. And Gen Z wanted to know what that company was doing for the community, how they're impacting their space. And I find that so interesting because as millennials, we do want a better work-life balance. I feel like our parents were always working really hard. And I had that great experience with my dad who could pick up, but he worked really, really hard.
I look at my parents, my dad just retired a few years ago, but my dad was not around. He worked nights. He worked in a plant. And as he moved up, he had more flexibility. But like when I was younger, you know, my dad worked nights at a chicken plant. And so you're right. I think that they were about working and in relationships. And I think when you go to millennials like ourselves, you are correct. I am definitely looking for that work-life balance. Look, everybody needs money to live. Mm-hmm. Nobody can go without that. And you can be as penny pinching as you want, just like you said, but in the same token, like all of these things are things that we want to have control over. Like when I look at it, like we want to make money, but if I want to go backpacking around Europe, I want to be able to work while I do that.
Totally. And you can in this world, you totally can.
And I'm jealous that you did that. And I definitely want to know more about that. But that's, you know, I think that times are changing. Look, I look at, there are so many commercial buildings empty. So commercial, many. Like, I think to myself, what are we going to do with all this space? Because I think so many companies before COVID were like, oh, we can't work from home. People cannot be structured enough to work from home. And then when we were forced to do it and people did it, and then the productivity was still the same and they were still making the same margins, they were like, oh, and I can get rid of this building that I've happened to rent too. Perfect. So I wonder what that's going to look like long term, you know, for cities and businesses. But I definitely think that the work from home aspect definitely touched for millennials for sure. I think Gen X is just chasing money for sure. Like they love that low hanging fruit of, oh, I can do affiliate marketing and I can work from home and I can do it for 10 or 12 different businesses and make money. And I don't have to do anything except for make some TikToks. And look, they are like, computer. My son is like, I'm like, how do I do this again? How am I supposed to do this again? So I think the technology that they are given and that they are around is giving them so many more opportunities than what I'm even comfortable even trying to learn at this point in my life.
Like, there's a lot.
Yeah. Like I'm not even trying to learn that. And then my son's like, what do you mean you don't know how to do that, mom? Like, look, you just press this button and then this is what speeds it up, or you do this. And I'm like, no, stop. Okay. That's too much information. You know? I'm like, you just do it then. If you know how to do it, you video it and just make it all look pretty, you know? But I definitely think that the three different generations are very different in what they're looking for sure. But I want to touch on, what makes you, you? What do you like? What do you not like? What are your passions besides marketing? Obviously traveling. You just said you went to Europe.
Oh yeah. No, I love that. I love family. I think first and foremost, I have the best family. I have four brothers, and we're very blended, but they are just so awesome. And I talk to one of my brothers like probably every 2 days and I see my parents all the time. Like I will invite myself on their vacation. Invite myself on their vacation. I just went on vacation with them. It was awesome. Love family, love experiences, any kind, friend, group, outings, whatever. I'm a big art person. I love being creative.
When you say art,
there is a garbage truck driving by right now. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's so loud and I didn't want to.
No, I can't hear anything.
I'll jump right back into it. I swear. I just didn't want it to like.
No, okay. I can't even hear anything. Girl, you are so fine. So like when you say art, like going to art shows or you like to do art?
Oh, I like to paint.
You like to paint. Actually, I need to see something. I need you to take a picture and send it to me.
I almost got up to go. I will. I'll take a picture and send it to you. So it's kind of funny. When I used to paint wine glasses because, you know, when you're younger, you have no money to buy Christmas presents. And I loved art. So I would buy wine glasses from like TJ Maxx or Marshall's, the nice kind. And I would paint on them and give them as gifts to people. And then my dad told some of his friends and it kind of got bigger. And I was in a boutique in Tampa. I had some wine glasses that I was selling.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I didn't fall into marketing. I feel like it was very pointed, but I found marketing because it was a combination of like art and business and communication. And I think that's why I like website design, because I love that creative piece of like putting things together. But yeah, I'm a big painting buff. Most of the people that I follow on Instagram on my personal account are like, here's a time lapse of me painting this portrait of Pride and Prejudice. And I'm like, yes, give me more.
I knew I loved you because you just referenced my favorite book of all time.
So good. Oh, I'm sending Pride you what I just watched. Yes. I just watched somebody do a time lapse of Pride and Prejudice. Yes.
So my favorite. I knew I loved you. You are my true love. See?
I know.
So favorite music.
Oh, so I am very eclectic. Like I love everything from Celine Dion, Lil Wayne, The Killers.
Yeah.
I'm just like all over the place.
Oh, so am I. But that's your creative vibe. That's your creative vibe. Being able to appreciate all different walks of
it. Depends on my mood.
Yeah, for sure. If I'm like, 100%. If I'm like feeling gangster because I like close the deal, I'm definitely listening to some Lil Wayne for sure. Get a little wop going on in the office for sure. If I'm like trying to like zone in a little bit, then I'm trying to listen to, I don't know. I mean, I'm onto this like Morgan Wallen thing right now, but I think
it's.
And I can't believe he cut his hair and the mustache. I mean, I don't know. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? So you talk about we talk about being creative, but I don't even know if you know this. We might've talked about this before, but so I danced my whole life competitively. And so I love the theater and art. I like art. I love going to art shows, but my vibe is the theater. I love going to theater. I like when you first walk in, it just feels so elegant. Like it just takes me back. And I'm definitely a creative person. I think that's probably why you and I get along well.
Yeah.
We have that same creative eye to things. And I love that. I love that. Biggest fear?
I think letting somebody down.
Yeah.
I think that
That sucks as an entrepreneur, though, because you can't ever be 100% perfect.
No, I know. And it's something that I kind of struggle with, because in the creative field, you kind of put a little piece of your heart in everything that you make. Like all of your designs, they're stunning and beautiful, and they reflect how you see how this space can be. But if somebody's like, I don't like that, it would tear. I know it would be like a little bit of a, I worked really hard on that. What do you mean? It's beautiful. You know,
I've gotten better with that, but it does hurt. It does hurt a little bit. Like I have one client right now, I think I've given her like 6 different shower floor tiles. And she's like, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then finally I'm like, okay, well then you just go pick it out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. But instead, I'm like, no, I'm going to go find another one. But no, it does sting a little bit. But then I think I get a little bit of thick skin with that. As crazy as it sounds, and it's so cliche, my biggest fear is dying.
Really?
Yeah. Like, what happens to my babies? What happens to my business? Like, I know if something happens to me, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm a Christian. I am faith driven, you know, so I'm not worried about me personally. I worry about, cause I like to have control, right? Like, I think I'm going to have to come back. I think I'm going to have to come back like as a dog or a cat or maybe like a bird or something. So that I can just like hover and make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Lord, please forgive me. But he's like, you watch this and put you in purgatory. You're just going to sit in the middle. No. I think that when people ask, because look, we do this like Q&A with me and Garland through social media, like to try to get people engaging with us on Facebook. And we've been getting some really cool questions. And one of the questions, and we hadn't answered it yet, so now I'm not going to have to put it on Facebook because I'm answering it right here. But like one of the questions was like, what is your biggest fear? And I think some people naturally think, oh, failing in business. No, look, if this fails, I'm going back to work somewhere or I might start up another business. But like that failure, would I be disappointed? Yes. Would I hurt? Yes. Because you've put the blood, sweat, and tears into it. But that is not truly what I'm afraid of. Like the fear for me is what happens after, like after.
Because you care about everybody around you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yes. Yeah. But my thing too, my little nugget for you about not wanting to let everybody down. I let go of that so long ago. It was hard.
I can't wait.
But like, you really have to work on it, because I would journal about that a lot. Like today I did this and I felt like my client didn't appreciate what I did. And when I looked back on it, it wasn't that they didn't appreciate it. My expectation of their appreciation was just way too high. When they smiled and they said, thank you, that was them giving appreciation, you know, giving me that okay that they liked it. And then some people don't like everything that I do, and that's okay, but it's not a true reflection of me. So I would tell you, like, take it with like a true grain of salt and just know that as long as I can say I gave 110%, then I don't have to worry about if they appreciate that. Yeah. One of my coaches in the coaching program that I'm in, he put up something that said, did you really know that everybody else's opinion really doesn't fucking matter?
I like that.
Like they're paying us and we appreciate them and they help our business grow and we want that and we want to help. But realistically, like your opinion really doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, I like that, but can I implement that?
I know. I'm like, let me take that morsel and then I'm just going to fold it into myself.
And just like keep repeating it on repeat. But no, like, you know this because we talked about it. I have a business coach. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love my business coach. I love, they push me, they keep me accountable. And I love that. But I think that's part of the reason why I've been able to let go of some things over the last year and a half, just because I want it to be about business, driving, family, God, and not in that order, but just really laser focused and bringing people around me that have this beautiful, positive, you know, vibe. If you don't have that, there's like a song, I can't remember what it is, but you know, like back up. I don't have time for that.
I know. No, I like that too. I think I have such high expectations, and I know you and I have talked about like in a creative space and then also in just general, we both have high expectations for ourselves and how we come across to the world and then also in our product that we provide.
Amen.
And I definitely struggled with it a lot more, especially just so worried about how somebody would feel about what I'm putting together and providing to them. You know, even on a website side of things, when I first started, I was like a little bit blinded by some confidence, which kind of took me along. But then almost after that happened and I had a success, I was like, okay, well, am I going to see that success again and again and again? And it's this little kernel of self-doubt, but of course it's fine. Like it comes out great and I put a lot into it. You know, I'm doing best practices in marketing and I'm also working with them and pulling people's visions and things, but it's always just that little tiny kernel that I would love to squash of feeling that I am not doing something right or that I'm not the best that I can be, you know? And I wish
that is our perfectionism in us. Like we want to make sure every bit of everything that we do is perfect. And look, you and I have talked, we know this. I am the same way. I don't know if I will ever get some of that self-doubt out. And the expectation that I hold for myself, for my team, for my projects, it is unreal. And I do not like to make mistakes and I do not like my clients to be disappointed. But over the last year, I've really just tried to focus on, did we provide the best service that we actually have? Now, if there was a mistake or an error that was made in there, then we should feel disappointed in ourselves because we didn't provide the best service. But if we did the best service that we can provide on a budget that they gave us, then I've succeeded. Yeah. I can't help that you're not 100% satisfied because maybe your expectation or what you were asking for was not accommodable. I couldn't obtain that with the budget that you gave me, but I did everything in my power to the best of my ability with the budget that you gave me. And that's kind of how I just keep making myself get rid of that self-doubt. Look, you want to come to me and give me a budget that has no boundary on it? Dude, we can do whatever, whenever, however you want. But when you come to me and you have a budget, that's an expectation that you expect me to keep you on. And for me to do that, there are some concessions that have to be made. And if you're not happy with some of those concessions, then bust up the budget, because that only helps me, you know, not feel stressed. The last thing that I'll tell you before we start wrapping up today is that I got very sick. And I tell you this because you were so me. You are so high strung. You are so perfectionism. And I love you. This was 2 months ago. I got really dizzy, ran into a wall, didn't know what was going on. My perception of everything was, I woke up one morning and it was just like there, nauseous, sick. It went on for like a few days. And then all of a sudden I felt a little bit better. I was at Target with Arbery, bent down, sat up, and it happened again. Scared the living daylights out of me. Again, I just told you what my ultimate fear is, right? Mm-hmm. So I go to the doctor, I get blood work done, I get tests done, and it is some female things. I'm getting to that age, right? You know, my hormones are going out of control. So they had to get those in check. But my cortisol stress level was off the charts. And when I sat down and I talked to my doctor, I talked to my OBGYN, they say, Erica, you've got to figure out ways to get that down. You've got to figure out ways to de-stress. And when I tell them what my business looks like, what's going on, I'm like, tell me how I can do this. Like, how, you know, like, can I get a shot that lowers it by itself? And, you know, they're like, no. So I tell you this because my doctor told me that people that are perfectionists, typically, and women have very, very high cortisol. Mm. And the reason for that is that because we expect perfection and because we have these high expectations, our stress level is typically very high and it is not healthy. And so just different regimens, journal writing, meditation, yoga, exercising, all these lovely things that they tell us. I truly will tell you, don't find yourself in the same position that I am. Find your Zen moment, because it was very, very scary. It was very, very scary. And that all like turns into all these different conversations that we keep having on that comes with being an entrepreneur, that people don't really know all those things, right? All we just have this great idea. We have all this passion inside and we're just going to start this business. But at the end of the day, there are a lot of things that happen and a lot of side effects that happen. And I hope that all my entrepreneurs can just be a voice the same way this afternoon for you. Like, I know your personality. I know that. Do not let those stressors continue to drive you crazy. You're beautiful. Your work is beautiful. And I love it. And I'm so super excited that you came and hung out with me today.
I'm honored.
So for everybody that's out there today, that's listened, that loves you and loves your energy and wants to get to know more about you, where can everybody find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on online at sidecarcreative.co. My Instagram handle is at sidecarcreative.co. And same with Facebook.
Okay.
I try to be consistent.
Consistent. Yes. And then like everybody can just message you, private message you through all those handles. Go straight to you, my darling.
Reach out. I'm excited. Even if it's just a chat, talk marketing, I'm down.
Yes. So I love that. Guys, check out my website at www.buildwitheng.com to see her beautiful work. And then I'm sure if you go to any of her side handles that she has plenty of other work that you can look at that she's done or references for that. And check her out. She is so beautiful inside and out. And I am so glad that she came to hang out with me today. So here we are wrapping up another episode of Escapes, and I am so glad that you guys decided to escape with me for 1 hour today, and we are looking forward to our next adventure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at BuildWithENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.